Great. Well, this morning I'll be continuing our series on rhythm, balance, and beauty. And this morning I'll be talking about beauty. 2 weeks ago, some of you might know this, maybe some, probably majority won't, but on my Facebook page I had an invitation to invite whoever saw my post to submit a photo. And as I was thinking about what I'll be preaching on in 2 weeks, I was specifically thinking of a couple different things about beauty, but beauty in creation. What do you see when you see a landscape photo, or I love, Adam, your illustration of the flower this morning. That was wonderful. That really just reminds you of how great God is. You see that a lot in the book of Psalms, looking at nature and using that as like a catalyst to start worshiping God. So I got a lot of great photos. I'm going to say this is probably the most beautiful PowerPoint I've ever had in my life. None of the photos are mine. They're all submitted by you and people around the state and around the country who saw the post. I can't highlight everyone in detail with the meaning behind it, but some of them I will. So I want to talk about rhythm, balance, and beauty, specifically beauty. 2 weeks ago, we started this series talking about balance, having balance in our lives. Last week, I talked about rhythm, having grace rhythms that help us achieve balance. And I said something along the line of this: grace-filled rhythms help us achieve balance in our lives and provide opportunities to delight in the beauty of God. And I think in all our lives, daily, there's a check. Lord, are we surrounding our lives with the things of you? Or are we getting pulled into other things? And I think it's a daily choice. It's not like you can kind of set it on Monday. Lord, I'm going to put you first and have my rhythms follow you and give no effort to it all week. Because as we know, we quickly, right, go to other balances or other rhythms. We want to be intentional, not legalistic, but intentional to set up opportunities to receive the grace of God and specifically the delight in his beauty. So I was thinking of beauty. I thought of the word beautiful, and there's a couple definitions, but one I was thinking of is beautiful, of a very high standard or excellent. I thought that was appropriate, especially when talking about God, right? When you think of the beauty of God, the highest, the most excellent, the most beautiful, the things of God and the things that God has created. We're going to be looking at a book in the Bible, Psalm chapter 19. If you have a Bible and like to turn there or turn on an app and go there, Psalm 19, we'll be spending most of our time right in that chapter. And as I was studying this, I was looking for different scriptures on beauty, and I believe the Lord led me to this chapter. And as I was studying it was really neat, some of the scholars' commentary on this chapter in Psalms. It's written by David, and this is what C.S. Lewis, author of the Chronicles of Narnia, said about Psalm 19. "I take this to be the greatest poem in all the Psalter and all the Psalms, and one of the greatest lyrics in the world." I didn't know that before studying this, that this was one of the most beautiful like Hebrew poetries, actually, in the book of Psalms. Another scholar said, "Psalm 19 combines both the most beautiful poetry with some of the most profound biblical theology into one." So I'm really excited to just rest and hear God's word. Are you excited this morning? Yeah. Hear God's word? I was recently with a bunch of pastors on Monday over at CFC Madrid, a local church. Monthly, we gather with a bunch of local pastors, and we had a teacher come in from Rochester, and he just emphasized just the beauty and the power of the living Word of God. Just examples of men and women just reading the Word of God and coming to know Jesus in a personal way by reading Scripture. No amazing PowerPoints or illustrations, just God working through His Holy Spirit. And I think there's just like there's such a beauty there that sometimes we can miss. I know sometimes I can miss, but we're going to be looking at that a little bit more in Psalm 19. So we start in verse 1. It's 14 verses, and we'll be going through right here. So in verse 1 of Psalm 19, this is the Psalm of David. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he has sent a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant all from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the life that it brings. God, I don't question that your word can change us. God, I just pray that we'll allow it to change us this morning, that we'd be open to receive from you, to hear from you, to be encouraged and challenged to grow, to look more like you, so that we could be your beauty on this planet. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to look at a couple of things. Beautiful world, word, and walk. So first I want to talk about a beautiful world in Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6. And I want to just talk about two of just the imagery that the psalmist used. It's just beautiful, just imagery. First is looking to the skies. The psalmist starts by declaring the glory of God. And as you look at the skies, just proclaiming his handiwork, his masterpiece. I remember growing up, and my dad would love just pointing out, especially when I lived in Connecticut, New Hampshire, anytime there was a sunset. My twin brother Dave's visiting up from Albany, and he'll probably remember this, but my dad would always be like, he's like, boys, here's a sunset that you'll never forget. There's nothing like this one. And then the next day, there'd be a sunset. He's like, boys, here's a sunset you'll never forget. There'll never be one like this. Like, none will be greater. And then the next, I'm like, wait a minute. You can't say that about every sunset, right? But I love how my dad had a passion, and still has a passion, for looking at sunsets, because there is such beauty. I remember I had an opportunity after I got married. We were blessed to be able to go down to the Caribbean in Aruba for our honeymoon. So Crystal and I were down there, and it was near the equator. And every night, the sun would hit the horizon. And maybe some of you have seen this before, where a sun just hits the horizon near the equator. And it was the most beautiful thing ever. It was like the biggest highlight. We just stand or sit right on our balcony and just watch like this sun hit. There'd be large barges and boats and cruise ships kind of going in front of it, but they were just dwarfed in comparison to the beauty of the sun. It was an opportunity just to say, wow, God, you're pretty awesome. That's just one sun, and you made billions of them. The psalmist looks at this opportunity to look at creation, and it points to a creator. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament uses the same idea that all humans are without excuse of knowing God just by the way the creation points to a creator. It's an opportunity to know more about God, but the psalmist uses it as an opportunity to truly praise God. You also see David looking to the sun in a way of using two different imageries. He uses, which if you think about it, I'm not going to like expound on it, but he uses the imagery of a bridegroom, maybe right after a wedding, coming forth from his bridal chambers with just such like joy and vibrance. And I won't go into details, but you can probably picture that. Or a strong man, or uses the word champion, finishing the joy with power and strength. I think of like a runner, and some of you are runners. We have a pretty active congregation, and finishing the last leg, that last maybe 100 feet or whatever, and just there's a lot of energy that goes out, a lot of power, but a lot of joy. The race was completed, and finishing with a face of just, yeah, I did it. The power and strength I've been practicing has been harnessed and used in the way, and using this imagery, really beautiful imagery of the sun having this power and this light, but using it as a springboard to praise our Heavenly Father, the creator of all the universe, including you and me. It's a beautiful, beautiful world. I went to college in Rochester, and one of the schools I went to called Roberts Wesleyan College, they had a class that was called Senior Seminar. They had a freshman seminar, but I was a transfer, so I missed that one, so I didn't really know what you're supposed to do in college. But as a senior, they were telling me, this is how you're supposed to wrap up college and get ready for real life. I don't know if they do that in other schools, but I was like, I had no clue. So some of the students, you mentioned you don't have any clue. I was with you. I had no clue. I was just going back to live with my mom and dad, and work a job and figure out what's next. But God totally used that time in a really neat way. But I remember the senior SEM class, one of the professors, or the professor teaching the class, would talk about slowing down to smell the roses on his way to school. And I remember being in finals and right towards the end of the semester, and it was crunch time. And I remember listening to this really dear old man with glasses. He walked with a cane and a beautiful suit. He just wore like this awesome black suit every time, telling me to slow down and smell roses, to remember who God is by this, the small flowers, exactly your illustration this morning, which is pretty cool. And I'm like, who has time for that, right? Who has time? Like, you got to rush. Like, we're trying to do finals here, and you tell us we should slow down and appreciate God's beauty and use this as an opportunity just to praise him. Like, yeah, maybe in your life, but not in a college student's life. I realized that he had a lot of wisdom in that, though, looking back, even though I was missing out, I think, on slowing down and just kind of looking at the beauty of God and seeing how he cares for creation, but how much does he value each person he made even more than that. It was a great reminder for me to look at creation as an opportunity to praise the Lord. I wanted to look through some almost like testimonies of some of the photos submitted. They're not all of them. I can't do all of them. I wish I could, but six of them, of just pictures that reflect the beauty of God and personal reflections on how that touched individuals' hearts. So I want to look at some of these with you this morning. This is Chris Dodge. Some of you might know him. He wrote this about this photo. I think this is one of the best Norwood sunset shots. Some of you are familiar with Norwood Lake or maybe even live on it. I take time to pray and praise while watching the sunsets. And he quoted, "You make the dawn and the sunset shout for joy." Psalm 65:8 is what Chris sent me. A high school student I knew from New Hampshire, Randy, said this: "I picked these mountains because I love mountains." Anybody else love mountains? You want to be on the mountains. Why be in the flatlands when you can be on the mountains? Move the church to the mountains. No, we'll keep it here. Randy says, "The mountains always put me in awe of God's majesty and power." And maybe those who like to be out in the Adirondacks, maybe you can relate to that. Former college student Jordan put this while hiking in the Adirondacks. While he was hiking, he encountered every kind of weather. I know Chad and Ben, you guys know what that's like. Chad and Ben, you might not know this, but they do like 24, 36-hour hikes. Crazy amount of time hiking. But you guys do it, and you seem normal, so keep it up. Seem normal, right? No, they're wonderful. But Jordan said this. He encountered lots of different weather. He said there was rain, there was snow in the same hike. Sounds like it's true of Potsdam. There was sun. If you look closely at this image, there are some snowflakes while the sun is reflecting off the water. God is God of it all. Now it's a reminder Jordan had. Different weathers, but God is the Lord of all. Rose Peterson submitted this photo. She says, "Nature is so meaningful to me." And if you're friends with Rose on Facebook, she's like on mountains like every day, I think. Like literally, like her Facebook feed is just mountains all the time. It's so cool. "Nature is so meaningful to me, whether it's a sunrise on the ocean or a sunset on a mountaintop. I'm always in awe of what God created and how I get to enjoy it. His beauty is all around us. We need to take a minute each day to realize it, enjoy it, and be thankful for it. Getting out in nature is usually my prayer and worship time. It is when I feel closest to our Creator, and it's what I look forward to every day. He fills me in such an amazing way." I just love the way that Rose put that all together, being out in beauty as a prayer time, connecting with God and nature. Really neat. Jay Trainer, he's a traveling minister. He sent this from Rochester, and it's with a drone. So for those who like drones, here you go. This is a drone shot of Rochester in the morning for Jay Trainer. It's a reminder of walking in godliness for the sake of my home and desiring revival in Rochester. This is what got on his heart. The last photo I want to look at was submitted by Chanel, who's right over here. Thanks, Chanel, for submitting this. She submitted this picture of a waterfall in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. It's a picture of a very small waterfall. Chanel said this: "Drinking water is limited for the high poverty rates in this area. The picture reminds me of the fact and the needs of God's of this fact and the needs of God's people. The water, though, is not clean at all, is a source of hydration for some and bathing for others. I witnessed the small stream coming from this waterfall being used as both on the short hike to the destination. Among the weight that this picture holds is the real beauty that God's provisions are beyond this pain. God's creation is beautiful. It is broken, but beautiful." I just love the way you worded that. That was really meaningful. Thank you, Chanel, for sharing that. opportunities to look at creation and praise God. Maybe a practical way of applying this message so far, when's maybe the last time you got out just to spend time in nature and use it as a time to glorify God? By yourself, family, friends, bring the kids, I don't know. Use it as an opportunity to point to how great is our Creator. Let's look at the next thing, a beautiful word. This is a picture that Renee Stauffer sent of Ethiopia. So beautiful word, specifically the word of God, scripture. And you see the psalmist pointing, creation is beautiful, stars are amazing, but you know what's even better than that? Is the word of God. Because you get like an idea that there's a God that exists and it points to that. And Paul uses that imagery too in the New Testament. But then you get a clearer revelation of who God is and his heart and what he cares about when you read the word of God. So let's look at the word of God a little bit. So the psalmist uses six different words kind of mean the same thing. The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and the rules of the Lord. And he talks about the law, the word of God, with such intimate, like vivid imagery. Almost like, I feel like you would use the same maybe imagery for someone that you incredibly loved. But his love for the word of God was just amazing. And the way that he wrote about it was just absolutely beautiful. He talked about the benefits of the word of God, which I want to share with you. Can we go to the next point? I don't know if I lost control. There we go. Benefits of the word of God. The psalmist David says this, reviving the soul. Anyone need some reviving this morning? Yeah? Making wise is simple. Anyone need wisdom? That's like a prayer of mine multiple times in the week. God, I need wisdom in this situation. God gives wisdom generously if we ask without doubting. Giving joy to the heart. Who here needs a joy boost from the Lord? Right? You need in the joy of the Lord. This is what the psalmist is saying as he's reading the law of the word of God. It has that much meaning and power. How often are you and I reading, immersing ourselves in the word of God? Do you love it this morning? Or is it kind of like something that's occasional? Last one, it gives insight. It gives living, giving light to the eyes, understanding. I just love that. Wow, look at this passion and zeal. I want to have that kind of passion and zeal when I talk about the word of God. I hope you do too. David goes on and talks about the rewards of the word of God, the law of God. He says it's better than gold, than pure gold. You can read about that. And David was a king, so he actually had gold. I don't have a lot of gold to be like, well, word of God, pure gold. I'm going to look up both. I don't know. Maybe you can do that. But he's talking about using the imagery, but even this has more value than the most valuable substance that humans claim to. Having gold, God's word is more valuable. Would you find that true in your own life? Do you value the word of God even more than the greatest riches? What do you long for more? Would you rather have $100,000 in change so you could have that over the word of God? Is that more valuable? Or maybe for some, $1 million would be a more value? Psalmist is saying no. No amount of gold is more valuable than the word of God. No amount of gold, no amount of treasure, no amount of riches of this earth. And he actually had it. It's easy to talk about, you know, oh yeah, I obviously love the word of God more than a million. Then it had a million, but you know. But when you actually have it and you've been there and you can compare it, God's word trumps. And even if you don't have it, it's still better. He uses the illustration also, the analogy of sweeter than honey, of honey from the honeycomb. There was a cereal. Remember the cereal back in the day? Honeycomb had this little like weird looking fluff thing running around. Honeycomb, honeycomb, run around. I don't know what happened to that cereal. But I don't think David was talking about that because the dating's a little bit off. But he's talking about honey. And now in a context where you can just go out and buy some Twizzlers, some Sour Patch Kids, some gum, or whatever, you get your sugar of choice. Honey's like really cool. I really like honey. My boys love honey. And at night when I put them to bed, the thing I get some really excited about tomorrow morning is oatmeal with honey and milk on it. And we talk about honey. Honey's the emphasis of all three ingredients. Like that's our big thing. We're talking about honey. But in David's time, you didn't have all this other processed sugar or everything else to grab from. Like honey was like a very sweet delicacy. Like it was wonderful to have. We just have so many other artificial and natural things that maybe doesn't seem that important. But he's saying it's even sweeter than honey, honey from the comb. I just love the way David talks about the word of God. There's such power in there. And I want to encourage you this morning to get into daily reading God's word. It's great to see David's experience with God's word and see how it's so meaningful for him. I hope for you and myself that we would also be able to use our own words to describe the meaning of the word of God in our life. The Apostle Paul says this in 2 Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want some direction? You need some reviving, some joy, some insight? God's word is alive and it is active. He used people on the planet to write, but he's the one that authored through the Holy Spirit every word in the Bible. There's power in God's word. It's the greatest gift we could really have just to know more about God in the sense of looking at creation, but even better, the word itself. We'll see later in the New Testament, the greatest revelation is the word of God becoming flesh, and that's when Jesus actually came. That is the greatest revelation of God, is Jesus himself on the planet. But Jesus, as you know, he's not dead. He ascended. He's at the right hand of God interceding for us. But we have the word of God that tells us about the heart of God. Who's God like? Who are we like from God's perspective? How does God look at other people? How does God look at myself? Who is Jesus? It doesn't give us a whole detailed plan of a lot of things, but it gives us all we need to know God and godliness and to follow after him. I want to encourage you strongly, if you're not daily reading God's word, to make this a habit of joy, a rhythm of grace, something that you could just delight in. Because I find that whatever you're passionate about, it's really easy to share about. You know what I mean? If you're really passionate about something, you can share it. My brother Dave and I went to a movie last night. We got there a half an hour early because we weren't sure if it would be sold out or not. And there was a student in front of us who was really, really excited about the movie. Like, really excited. Like, the most excited student I've ever seen about a movie in my entire life. She was really nice. She talked quite a bit, she saw the movie the night before on Friday, and now she was there on Saturday watching it again. Thankfully, she didn't tell us any spoilers in the movie, but I noticed as she was going on we got there a half an hour, we're sitting, and she interrupted our conversation most of the time, telling us about things she loved about the movie. I could tell, wow, and she was really nice, it was really cool. She had such a great passion for this movie and this whole series. Even at the end, we're waiting for some end credit scenes. She was talking to us again. 2 hours and 40 minutes later, we are having a one-sided conversation. And I was reflecting on it this morning. I thought, you know what's cool about her? She's so passionate about this series, and she has such joy. She just wanted to share it with anyone she could. I didn't have to drag out this information out of her. I didn't have to say, I couldn't even stop if I wanted to. She was passionate about this movie. How passionate are you about the Word of God? How passionate am I about the Word of God? Do you have that kind of delight and zeal that, man, this is my life. This is the bread, my sustenance spiritually. I have such a delight and joy in this. Man, I'm just going to share with anybody, anywhere, at any time. Maybe with a little bit more wisdom and tact than this lady, but having that passion. It's a lot easier to use self-control and control passion than try to tell someone, share something that you have no passion for, right? I can say that this lady had passion, but if you don't have passion for the things of God, to say, let's go share the hope of the gospel, the beauty of God with those in our college campuses and those in our workforces, it's like trying to drag someone. But man, when you are in the Word of God and you are delighting and knowing who God is and get fresh revelation daily of what the Lord is saying to you, you have such a joy and such a passion. It is easy to talk about the things of God because God's a reality in your life. God is a joy bringer in your life. God is a lover of your soul in your life. He's the whole reason why we exist. You are looking forward to heaven more than in a promotion or a marriage or an upgrade of a car. You're saying the things of God and the kingdom of heaven are better than anything else. And I just got to tell somebody about that today. Do you love Jesus this morning? Are you excited about Jesus this morning? I hope you are. I know we can get more excited about a movie that gets released or more excited about a baseball team score. Can we get more excited about Jesus by spending time with him? If he is greater than anything and anyone else, and we will spend eternity with him in heaven, man, let's get the news out. Let's get the beautiful, powerful words that Chanel wrote, that God can make broken things beautiful in this world, and he can do that not just in creation, he can do it in people's lives, including your lives, my lives, our neighbors, and our families. So be passionate about the things God are passionate. I want to talk lastly about the psalmist's reflection. He's looking at the creation of the world, then he's looking at the creation of God's word, and what a gift and joy it is to be in the word of God and let it revive his soul and renew him and fill him with joy and insight. And then you have his personal reflection. These are verses 12 to 14. I wanted to call it a beautiful walk, because God really does care about how we walk our lives, live our lives with him. A couple thoughts on this. The psalmist shares a couple of things. He's reflecting on God's creation and world, and then this brings in the self-examination. It's hard not to go to self-examination when you meet with God. I often think of Revelation 4 when John gets the vision of being in the throne room of God and then responding, just falling down, right? Just what do you even do? When you meet with God, it brings up how awesome he is and how frail and broken we are. But then you realize that this infinite, beautiful, powerful, star-breathing God loves you, cares about you. You can call him daddy. He creates planets, and yet we can have that kind of relationship with him. I just love how David is so honest with his examination. He invites God, Lord, keep me from willful sins. Those are things that we do that are wrong, and we're doing it purposely, intentionally. But also, Lord, would you keep me from doing things that maybe I'm not even aware of, hidden faults. I think, honestly, we sometimes give ourselves a better self-examination or a rating than maybe others would around us, right? I'm doing awesome. I find this true. One of the best ways to find out, you know, if you got areas to work on is just get married. You think you're doing great, and you get married, and you're like, wow, I guess I could hide that from a lot of people. Not God, but then your wife can be like, hey. And honestly, I mean that in the best way possible, because if you want to grow towards God, isn't it great to have others? But you don't have to get married. You can be having a great friend, be in a small group, have people that can speak into your life, let you know, hey, this is what's going on. I see something a little bit off. Can I encourage you in this, to push towards God? The psalmist is inviting that of God. Lord, if there's anything, hidden faults, Lord, I don't want to be running in rhythms of brokenness. I want to be running in rhythms of grace. God, there's things I'm doing that are wrong. God, I'm strapped into addiction. Maybe it started out as an intentionality, and now you're just stuck, and you're trying to get out. But you're feeling, man, I'm just stuck here. God can break the hold of addiction and take something broken in our lives and make it beautiful. David asked for a way that's, to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. The meditation of his heart, the words of his mouth. I thought that's a really good prayer for us too. Lord, may the meditation of our hearts and the words of our mouth be pleasing to you, O God. O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. David uses strong words. Rock, redeemer, other words in other psalms. Fortress and stronghold, shelter, wings. This whole idea that God can encompass us and protect us. And David faced great adversity in his life. When we experience God and beauty in creation, it's a great time to proclaim the beauty of God and worship like David. But the word of God is really where we get to know more about God, who he is, who we are. Do we line up to God's word and what he's saying? It's a great encouragement. I encourage you strongly, strongly, strongly. If you don't get anything from this message, just pray that you would go home with maybe an interest to want to open a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can take one right from the chair in front of you as a gift. But also, you can just take a digital app. Get the YouVersion Bible app. It's free. It's wonderful. Get into the Word of God. We are so blessed to be in a country where you have access to the Word of God with no persecution, no fine. We don't have snippets of it like some Christians who have in other countries. We only have pieces of the Bible. We have the whole thing in multiple versions and translations and languages for free. We are incredibly blessed with that. Don't take it for granted. As we live our lives in reflection to who God is, I believe we can be the beauty of God, the handiwork of God, the art, the poem of God on this planet in a way that brings honor and glory to God. About 20 years ago, I remember going to Freeport, Maine. Some of you might have been there before. That's where the L.L. Bean's original headquarters, I think it is still where the original headquarters are. I remember I was in Maine, and I went to an art museum. And it was a painter who passed away a couple years ago, a Christian painter named Thomas Kincaid. He called himself the painter of light. And I went in there, and it's beautiful, just paintings. They weren't the actual, like, originals, but they used some kind of cool way of making it almost like the original digitally or something. I don't know, but it looked really beautiful. And in each of the rooms, they had, like, 4 to 5 sliding, like, light switches, which if you're, like, 10, that's, like, temptation, right? Every room, and it wasn't, like, up this high, and it wasn't a lockbox. It was just open for anyone to use. I'm like, what a mistake, right? So I'm like, don't touch the lights, touch the lights, don't touch the lights, you know, because people are like looking around and a lot more serious, kind of hands behind the back. Some people know how to appreciate art. I obviously don't. I just wanted to control the light switches. And it was neat because the art person that was working there was mentioning, hey, by the way, feel free to play with the light switches. I'm like, are you serious? You just don't tell a kid to hit the red button. You say, no, back away. Don't do that. And the reason why, and maybe some of you know this, was Thomas Kincaid's paintings. You can really appreciate them at a bunch of different levels. But if you dim the light on his paintings and bring it a little bit darker, a little bit darker, a little bit darker, don't like not complete darkness. He painted in such a way that the places where he painted windows and lanterns would illuminate like light. So as it got darker and you couldn't really see maybe a snowy imagery of like a covered bridge and a horse drawn and a little nice cobblestone house, the lights would just radiate. And it was like the coolest thing ever. So I was just going down and up and down, up, down, 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 up, down, you know. I'm 10, right? I'm not that mature. Not to say I'm not that mature now, but you know. And I was like, in my mind at the time, it was like the most beautiful painting I've ever seen. And I was thinking how God works in our life. He wants you and me to be like that to the world. That in darkness we shine with beauty. He wants us to look like stars in the universe shining brightly as we hold out the hope of the gospel. That his beauty would be on display. Not just the stars or in his word, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. That we would shine brightly. That even if the world gets more darker, we shine with such a radiance that the light cannot go dark because Christ is in you. I want to finish with just a little tangent. And at this time, I'd like to invite up the musicians as well. I want to go to Romans, just New Testament real quick. We talked about beautiful world, beautiful word of God, beautiful walk with the Lord. I want to talk about beautiful feet. I don't have beautiful feet. I really don't. I was one of those kids that'd be at like swimming classes. My large toes, incredibly large. I would scare away moms and small children. Okay, that wasn't true, but I did scare away my peers. They'd be like, oh, what's wrong with you? What do you got going on? I'm like, I don't know. Big toes are big, right? Not that big. I don't have beautiful feet. Foot modeling days are over. They actually never started. But in Romans 10, it talks about beautiful feet. I hope this would be our feet. Even if you have difficulty walking, we can live this out. Beautiful feet. Paul says this, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Who wants beautiful feet this week? I do. Do you want that too? Let's go out there. One person at a time, family at a time. Share what you're reading in the Word of God, the testimony that's living in you, the creation. You have 3 different components you can share God with. You can look at the world, you can go to the Word, and you can share the difference that Christ has made in you. You have everything you need to be able to share with your neighbor. And even if you lack words, the Holy Spirit says, I will give you words to say when you do not have them. Step out in faith. God's beautiful. And I believe let's reflect that. To our neighbors, our colleagues, our students, our professors. College students, you have an opportunity when everyone's stressed and freaking out to show the peace of God, even when you might be freaking out too. There's a difference God makes in my life. Let me tell you why I have peace during finals. It's because of Jesus. Let's take a moment to pray. God, I just thank you so much for who you are. God, you're the most excellent, perfect, holy, beautiful person in all of the universe. And God, I think it's awesome that you look down at just one of the planets you created and one of the galaxies. We're very small. And to think that you are mindful of us is overwhelming to me. That you would care for us. That you would know the thoughts on our mind. You would know the words before we speak it. God, you know the hair on our head. God, you're so intimately involved in knowing more than we'll ever actually know. And God, you love us. And Lord, I pray that today that we could be filled, not with guilt, but with joy and grace and love to delight in your world, to delight in your word, and to delight in what you're doing in our lives. God, give us boldness and help us to share with fearlessness, as Paul would, to our friends and neighbors about how wonderful and beautiful you are. God, I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.